Ah, good afternoon. Come in, come in. Let me offer you a glass of sherry, a tale or two, and perhaps one of my priceless antiques. Tales of Antiquity. Stories of the romantic past, captured through the eyes and ears of Eustace Glean, collector extraordinary. His story for today, The Gypsy's Warning. At your elbow. Not too dry, I trust. Ah, do I see you gazing at that crystal ball? It belonged to a Madame Rosa, sometimes known as Gypsy Rosa. Had a great influence upon a Miss Maud Tiller. Let me tell you about it. I think it will amuse you. Maud Tiller was approaching 30, unmarried, and lived with her widowed father in Romford, Essex. She'd never known her mother, for she had died upon the very day that Maud was brought into the world. For many years, Arthur Tiller, her father, had been catered for by his elder sister, until she too went the way of all flesh. By this time, Maud was of an age to care for her father herself, which she did for some 14 years or more. But now, at the age of 29, Maud determined that she should remain a spinster no longer, and vowed that she would have a wedding ring upon her finger before her 30th birthday. However, Arthur Tiller, being a gentleman of some wealth, had thought the contrary, for he considered each and every suitor little more than a fortune hunter, and did his best to dissuade them. Now, it had become customary for the Tillers to spend 2 months of each summer at the coast, Brighton usually, and 1880 was no exception. They arrived at the same hotel, the Montpelier, took the same rooms with the same view as they had done for the past 15 years. But this year was to be different. After Arthur had unpacked and had to freshen up, he strolled into his daughter's room as usual to escort her down to the dining room. But he was amazed to find her staring through the window, her trunk untouched and standing in the middle of the floor.
Why, Maud, you hadn't even begun to unpack.
No.
Oh, then do hurry. The dinner gong will be rung soon, and you know how Mrs. Fry hates to be kept waiting.
Yes, Father.
Maud.
Yes, Father, what is it?
Did you hear me?
Yes, of course, Father.
Now, what did I say?
I have no idea.
Is there something on your mind, Maud?
A man.
A man? What man?
Any man. Just a...
Maud! Pull yourself together. You're barely 15 minutes before the dinner gong. Now unpack!
The following morning, Maud and her father took a carriage along the promenade, which looked quite gay with all the sideshows and stalls with their colourful umbrellas and striped awnings.
I cannot think what the council is about, allowing all these gaudy sideshows.
But they make the front look so cheerful.
Soon there'll be no room for pedestrians.
Suddenly, Arthur Tiller was startled to hear his daughter give a shriek and cry out,
"Stop, driver! Stop the carriage!"
Hello, Maud, whatever's wrong?
Madame Rosa, see?
And there, sure enough, stood a caravan with bold red letters displayed on a blue background, telling the legend, "Madame Rosa, let Madame Rosa see into your future." The carriage had barely stopped before Maud scrambled out and hurried across the sands.
Maud, wait! Wait!
A short while later, a black-haired creature with golden earrings and a bright headscarf was telling her what a lonely little swan she was, living alone amongst the reeds, but that she must not despair, for soon romance was to smile upon her in the form of a tall, dark stranger who... But at this point, Madame Rosa declared, the crystal had dimmed.
Dimmed? If you would hear more, my little swan, the crystal, she requires more silver.
Silver? Two threepenny pieces. Will that suffice?
It's the most ample. She see. The mists, they swirl away. The image, she come again.
at which point Maddard Rosa told Maud that a black cat would be featured, that the colour green would be prominent, and repeated that the person to have the greatest influence upon her would indeed be tall, dark, curly-haired, and of foreign blood.
Poppycock!
Father!
Absolute piffle! What a gullible creature you are, to be sure, Maud.
I did not say I believed it, Father.
You do not fool me, Maud. You have swallowed every word this gypsy Rosa says.
Nothing of the kind. Stop the carriage!
What on earth is
Green's
it?
Green's tea rooms!
And there, across the road, stood Green's tea rooms and ice cream parlour, the facade of which was painted a gaudy shade of green. But even more significant, staring through the window was a dark, curly-haired man, and at his elbow, a huge black cat. Maud was out of the carriage in a trice.
But Maud! The man's a mere waiter! Maud! Oh, I must stop bringing her to Brighton. All this ozone's having the most alarming effect.
When Arthur Chiller followed his daughter into Green's tea room a few moments later, he found Maud already seated and gazing rapturously at the dashing young waiter. He also noticed with some dismay that he was the only male patron, for there were females of every age, shape and size crowding the tables. As he took his seat beside his daughter, the young waiter was already descending upon them.
Maud, this is most undignified.
Good day.
Are you foreign?
Maud!
No, signorina. Italian. From Napoli.
Napoli?
Naples, Maud.
Is right. You would like?
Oh, yes.
Pardon?
Maud! We would like some tea, if you please.
Si, I please. Some tea. Also some are special cakes.
By all means.
Also some are special pastries made in special Italian way.
Oh, by all means.
Cakes, pastries. How about some ice cream?
No, certainly not.
Here we are, signorina. Tony's special Neapolitana ice cream.
Oh, it looks so pretty.
Oh, pretty ice cream for a pretty lady, see? Enjoy. All is to your satisfaction, signorina? All she's in order?
Huh? No. It is certainly not in order. This bill is outrageous.
Then I shall pay. I shall pay the bill.
Maud, this is madness. Three times a day I bring you here, whilst all you do is simply feast your eyes on that ridiculous waiter. Why, the wretched fellow can't even speak English.
He's very pretty, Father.
Pretty? Pretty? Oh, stuff and nonsense. I shall certainly not accompany you here again, my girl.
Then I shall come alone.
And Maud did go alone, much to her father's chagrin.
I thought I'd find you here. Come back to the hotel this instant.
She went back to the hotel, only to return to the tea rooms the following day. And the next, until her poor indignant father could stand it no longer. The time had come, he said, to do something. He locked her in. However...
Hello, Father.
Bort! How on earth did you... Where have you been?
I have been to Green's, Father. There is a most convenient drainpipe.
You actually climbed down a drain? How dare you?
Yes, Maud had climbed down the drainpipe, adding that she would use whatever means at her disposal in order to reach Green's tea rooms and the handsome Tony Pirelli. At this, Arthur declared his intention of returning his daughter to Romford at once, where he trusted she would regain her good sense. Maud told her father she had done with Romford, that she had done with being a mere drudge, that henceforth he must procure another housekeeper, for it was her intention to marry the dashing young Italian.
Don't be absurd, girl. Marry a mere waiter on the Brighton seafront? Oh, damn it, all the fellow's foreign. Not only that, he's got every seaside floozy on his tail.
Then I shall simply be one of the crowd.
Poor Arthur Chiller realized that the only way he could obstruct this foolhardy venture was to find some means of discrediting this Tony Pirelli creature. But how? It was two nights later that fate came to his assistance. Arthur had walked to the post box opposite Green's and had just popped in a letter to Ethel the cook, informing her of the imminent return to Romford, when he caught sight of something through the window opposite that caused him to hare back to the hotel, insisting that Maud return with him and see for herself. Maud and her father peered through the tea room window and saw Tony Pirelli talking to, of all people, Madame Rosa. But gone was the Romany accent.
Good day today, eh, Tony?
She was good, but I not like. He's not honest.
Silly boy. Business is business. Old man Green's happy. What you take today?
£50, maybe a little more.
Smashing. That's 25 quid to us. Not bad, eh?
I not like. All those pretty girls in the tea room thinking, it's not right.
They shouldn't be so gullible, should they? I hope you're not thinking of doing the dirty on me, Tony. Don't forget it was me as brought you to England in the first place. You try welching on me and I'll have the coppers on you so fast you won't have time to say ice cream a Bella Napoli. We're promised. Your ma and me done a deal. £500 and I can marry her lovely Tony. We've only got another 50 to go.
So that was it. Every female client, young, old or otherwise, was given the same story, merely that they'd be enticed into Green's tea rooms, and all because they took one look at Tony Pirelli and were convinced that he was the one for them. Maud was aghast. Arthur Chiller was delighted. At last, his daughter had seen them for what they really were, a pair of confidence tricksters. No doubt, had Arthur taken his daughter back to the hotel there and then, that would have been the end of it. But, being an honest man, he decided to expose them that very minute. He went storming into the tea rooms, dragging the woeful Maud after him. He told Madame Rosa that the game was up, and that he meant to expose them to the police. However,
I don't see what you can do about it. I mean to say, it's not my fault all them silly females took my Tony to be the one in the crystal ball, is it?
Arthur realized that there was some truth in this, and was in an immediate fury. All right. He'd really put the cat among the pigeons.
Well, it just so happens that one of those silly females is my daughter there. She and your Tony Pirelli have every intention of eloping this very night.
They weren't, of course, but this information so enraged Madame Rosa that she had once turned on the bewildered Tony, who hadn't understood a single word.
So, you're going to run off, eh? Leave me in the lurch, eh? I'll give you elope.
What is this elope?
Little mate.
No, no, it's not true.
No, it certainly isn't. I never planned.
The very pretty lady. You want that we should make with the eloping?
I beg pardon?
You wish to make the running away?
Well, I...
Come, we elope.
Oh... Goodbye, Father. Do write the cook and tell her dinner for one in future, won't you?
Maud!
Tony!
Well, Arthur had succeeded in putting an end to Madame Rosa's little ruse. He'd succeeded in separating her from her handsome Tony, but unfortunately, he'd also succeeded inadvertently in throwing his gullible daughter into the arms of the romantic Tony Pirelli. Here, take the crystal ball. Try your luck. After all, it didn't lie for Maud Chiller, did it? Do call again when you can. Goodbye. That was Tales of Antiquity with Linda Stewart, Dennis Folbig, James White, and Valerie Dunlop. Written and produced by Kenneth Hendle.